Appreciate being here. A lot of responsibility to stand here in front of you. I know the road that's going to be out there in front of you. That's coming up. You got a lot of decisions to make. And our prayer is that something that we say will trigger something in your life to stay. Just bear with me. We're going to pray. Our precious Lord, Father, you know the burden that we have for these young people. Father, we want to see them achieve, not only in regular life, Father, with a companion and children, but spiritually, Lord, we know that we are in a congregation that is strong, Father, and that you have placed us here for a reason. And we've got this thought, Father, that you put on our mind to help us to bring it forth, that down through time or through this meeting, Father, that people can think. We appreciate all you do for us, and we definitely appreciate you saving our soul. In Jesus' name. As I was looking down through these different questions, I've never quite did nothing this way where it's laid out for you to answer. But when you put a message together, you'll pray and the Lord will give you direction. And this just threw me for a loop. I didn't know what to do. And as of Thursday or Wednesday, I had absolutely nothing. And so then they said, you're changing till Friday. And I said, oh, thank the Lord. That's one more day. But it was last night that things started shaping up, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready. So this is off the cuff. Just I put it together overnight, and so we'll see where the Lord directs and he takes us. So looking back, in what ways do you now understand God was preparing you for this call? And I guess the first thing is he forgave me of my sins. And then after he did that, he planted a deep desire to serve him. And I wanted to seek his will and not my will, because I have always done what I want to do when I want to do it. And I really didn't care about what anybody else wanted. I did what I wanted to do. And it didn't matter. Church wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted things of the world. Boats and motorcycles, fast life. That's what I wanted to do, and that's what I did. But there was a longing. I never could get nothing satisfied in my life. And there was many people praying for me. But you know, I always think of that scripture of when God knew us when we was in the womb. And he was with me through all them times. And I could have been killed numerous times. But it didn't happen. And there was a reason, because God had a calling for me. So when he came to me and told me the door was open to come on home, I took that invitation at 3 o'clock in the morning at my own home, and I gave my life to God there on the couch. And of course, the devil was right there throwing all the accusations that I've been involved in. But we started coming, we came to church, and things were, we was young people. You beat me up in young people's meeting more than the preacher did out front. And I didn't know what that was. I didn't know that God was working with me, mortifying my flesh, and I didn't understand all that, but it's what he was doing. And I became hungry for the work of God. And he, he already laid it out, because I understand what hungry is, because I couldn't get enough messages. I couldn't get enough of the word because I was working. I worked 3/18s. It was great money. Worked 3/18s, and I was off 3 days, and I'd work 12 hours on each one of them. And I was making buku dollars. And we didn't have enough help. And I believed in where I worked at, and they needed me, so I stayed working. But I kept getting hungrier because I was missing services. So I'd tell Kathy, Sister Kathy, I'd say, just open up your phone. Back, and when I say open your phone, I don't know if you guys remember flip phones, but we had this little flip phone. I said, just open it, turn it on, and put it on the on a songbook. And that didn't work because it would get shut off, or then I'd be trying to call her, and it was ruining her service. But that's why I recognized hungry, because I couldn't get fed. And so one hungry person recognizes another hungry person. So it wasn't very long that I seen other saints. They were in nursing homes, they were having surgeries or whatever, and they was not getting fed. We didn't have live services then. Everything was kind of almost antique to what you guys got now. But God showed me that they were just like me. They were shut in without the word. And that's when God gave me the burden for the DVD ministry. And I might add, that was not in place yet. It was it wasn't in place. But I shared the same pain as all them saints. But one thing that's important, I wrote it down here. I learned over time that I didn't need to push doors. Anything the Lord wants or is in you, you will find that it's very, very smooth. His operation is so smooth, and his hand, the way it works. There's not a rough road in his vocabulary for you when he gives you, as the text says, the calling. I don't know if you've ever seen the hand of God move, but I've seen it. And I always go, I seen that. And God will let you see his hand move once in a while. And it's very special if you get to see it. As the scripture tells us, wait on the Lord. Now, God prepared me financially for the shut-in ministry before it even existed. Some of these things are private, but I've told ones years ago that anything in Kathy and I's life, if we can help you grow or what it is, we're willing to go back through pain, sorrow, and help you, because we've been through some muddy waters. But I had received a sum of money from my parents. It was $2,000. At that particular time, my siblings were in financially trouble. And my parents are very fair-minded. One child don't get no more than the other. And so they had purchased, or they had gave them each that money to help them, so they felt it was necessary to give it to me. I said, "Mother, I don't need that money." I said, "You give that to my brothers and sister." "Nope. Everybody gets the same." So there wasn't no arguing with your mother, if you've ever argued with one. So I took my check that she had wrote me, and I threw it in a desk drawer and left it there. So when the DVD ministry started up, I can't remember back that far, but I'm going to say in the neighborhood of 2 years, that check laid there in that drawer. And the opportunity came up about equipment. And it just like there's money laying in that drawer. So I called my mother and I said, "Hey, I need you to rewrite that check unless you spend it." She said, "That's your money. I haven't spent it." I said, "Well, we need to buy some equipment for the DVD ministry." She said, "Well, I'll issue a new one because them are only good for 90 days. Is that right? 6 months now. Okay. So, got the new check, cashed it, and went to Best Buy. $1,800 with all the equipment. So God had prepared this years in it before. And so, again, moving into that was very, very smooth equipment. Very smooth. We had the money. And the operation, we had everything. And we bought the best computer there was back in. What's that? Intel 3 probably was the best back then. Dual processor. I was like, "Ooh, yeah." So we had it all. And we had, we was able to buy the coax cable, the camera. $279 for a camera. So we bought the camera and the tripod and I don't know how much other stuff, the SD cards. I was learning words and phrases that I'm not a computer expert by no means. But always listen to somebody that is, and then you can talk the language. Nothing else. They said, "Oh, he knows a lot." But so anyway, we was glad that all worked out. So we come down to how did you receive the call? And doors just open. Situations become available. When God is involved in it, it'll just happen. You don't have to push. You want to be a preacher? You don't have to push. You want to be a Sunday school teacher? You don't have to push. When God, he'll open the doors and it'll happen. in our time, I believe that there was video that was needed for, I believe, Sister Karen's story. Sister Sherry was involved in that with the internet, and we was able to had the equipment. We was able to help out and work in that. And somewhere in here, again, I can't remember times. Brother and Sister Decker, I think they one got sick, one didn't sick, then the other was sick, but that was a big turning point in this process because of if your pastor is involved in this, there's a lot less opposition. And Brother Sesher was the one that opened the door to get the services on DVDs to them. And when this happened, that put the shut-in ministry in the fast track in for the shut-ins. And from there, it was like, it was growing. How and when you know it was God's will for you, we're going to skip that one for now. But I want to talk about how did you grow into your call. Cameras are they bring lots of opposition. And we have a very large congregation, and everyone was not happy in the worship service with a camera in here. But, like I said, we'll video in the services for Brother Decker, Sister Decker. So God knew that the opposition was there, but he also knew the people's going to support the pastor and their sickness. So that was really a big help in that opposition. So as time progressed, I knew that the opposition was still there and we needed rules. So with the help from Brother Decker, we established a set of rules. Everything in society has to have rules. It guides us into basically this. It's a new territory of video in the worship service. This is sacred to us here. And we'll throw on a camera in where we're exploiting everyone. That's not a happy place to be if you're a person that don't want video. So these rules, we set down, what's our sacred place? The altar. There is no videoing of the altar. The congregation seating area, testimonials on the floor, are areas that we do not video. And then there's always something happens that could be embarrassing for someone. And that camera, it just picks up anything. Now, you might think this is gross, but sometimes old people get peanuts caught in their teeth and they'll just go, ew, and get rid of it. That camera will pick it up flying across the pulpit. And we have mice that ran around the pulpit. And you've seen that mouse running around there and jumping around there, and he'd stand up on his feet. There goes Brother Sterlucky going. He's all over the place. But the camera picks everything up. So anything that could be an embarrassment, we edit it out of the video. Because we don't want nobody to be embarrassed. And But it, the rules went in effect, and the opposition never ever raised its head up, and they had a right to raise their head. But here's the thing, God was in it, and it was smooth. People trusted. They heard about what the rules are. Now there is 8 rows set over by the choir that we have to get them so we can get the choir. But that's an exception to the rule. Brother Decker always says there's always an exception to the rule. And there is. There is. I think it's really, really important and neat when he prays for all the kids before they go to school. We video that. So that's exceptions to the rule. But we're very staunch. We stay within the set of rules that Brother Decker established. Now, I learned that the shut-ins I was helping were experiencing the same problem that I was having. And that is the devil. He was attacking me for not being in services. And through that, I learned that even though I'm helping them, they taught me that we all have a common salvation. We all have the same devil attacking us the same way. And he's going to. Whether you have a call or whether you not, when you decide to serve the Lord, you're going to be attacked. But I learned to stay in the center of God's will. And that's the key. To stay in his will, not your will. Most important. Not my will. Mark that down, because I'm going to give you a test at the end. It'll be on the test. So I had a professor always said that. He didn't want none of us to flunk his class. So, but I did remember that through this, I lost my thought there for a second. Christ will be the same yesterday, today, every day. And here's what he expects. We need to be the same. He is our example. As Brother Burton says, amen, 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 amen. I love that when he does that. But yes, we want to be following Christ. We will set the example. Could you share some experiences along the way as your call was developed? Oh, Sister Pauline Miller was probably my earliest recipient. She hadn't been in services for years due to her illness. And she was very hungry. And when the DVDs got to her, she was just thrilled beyond anything I've ever seen. And her comment was, "You gave me back my dignity." You couldn't imagine how elated she was over getting these DVDs. Sister Carol Fowler, that's here today, her mother received the DVDs for years. She was shut in also. And her comment to Sister Carol was, "If the house catches on fire, you get your brother Tim, and me out of the house, and you get back in there and get all my DVDs. That's how precious they was. She was going to sacrifice her daughters to get them their DVDs. But Sister Carol told me, she says, we wouldn't have been here if it hadn't have been for them DVDs. And she'd called and she'd say, Brother Jeff, she says, that mailman's stealing my DVDs. Or he's getting rid of them because I'm not getting them. I said, is that a fact? She said, yes. I said, well, maybe we're doing something wrong with the address or something like this. And she was just distraught because she hadn't got hers for a week. I looked at Kathy and said, come on, I just burnt three DVDs. We're headed down, I think it was Mount Pleasant, Ohio, where they lived. And we drove down, and I went up and knocked on the door, and Sister Carol answered the door. And she went, oh, and threw the door shut in my face. And I'm standing there, and I'm going, they lost salvation since the mailman ain't been there, what? And she goes, then she opened the door up, I'm sorry, you just stand there and shut the door. And here, she went in, got her mom, told her mom, says, there's somebody at the door to see you. She, mom come to the door, she opened the door up. Oh, Brother Wells, I said, mailman. And we had service with her, and there again, there was another one. Her soul was fed, and she growed from it. How am I doing on time? Could you share some experience along the way as your call was developed? No, we did that. Okay, let me drop down here. Where's my buddy there, Brother York? I see. I prayed. I was upstairs and I was all by myself. And I said, Lord, I need somebody to worship with up here. I'm all by my lonesome. I said, ain't nobody here. Me and this camera. Everybody else has somebody to worship with. I don't have nobody. And I've been praying. I turned around when I heard my chair, heard a chair, and I turned around, there's Brother York. He said, I come up here to be with you. I looked up to the Lord. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, Brother York, we didn't even, you know, know each other. We wouldn't associate it. And so he sat up there with me a few weeks, and we became great friends. And but see, God knew. He not only gave me that reprieve, but he gave me a friend. And he used to come out the farm and help me, and we had great, great times. And very precious times. But so I do know that the Lord has a sense of humor. So I kept praying. Sister Borders, I know you know what's grandma. What's her name?
First,
Sandra. She led me to Brother John Spears. And she said that he had a burden for the shut-ins. So Brother Spears came up. And after working with him for a while, I definitely seen he had the call for that. Not only he had the burden, but the camera, how he approached it, how he was the eyes for the shut-ins. He placed himself in their position. You have to be knowing what that person is you've never met, what they want. And that's what Brother John had, that calling. Now, Brother John and I was different as night and day. He would follow directions to a capital T, even every time I was wrong. He would do exactly what I said. And then I'd say, "Oh, Brother John, I messed up on that one." He says, "Well, it'll work out." The kindest man I ever met. But you know, he had a son. His name was Gabe. Most of you all know Gabe. And he loved that boy. That boy's not with us. I don't know what he's at, what he's doing, or anything. But I ask you for Brother John to pray for Gabe. So then, Brother John passed away. And then I'm left alone again. Well, sometimes you will take things into your own hand to do stuff. Because rationally it's right. In theory it's right. On paper it's right. So I'd been Brother Orr Senior had been helping me, and things were leaning to where Brother Alex Orr would be helping him. Now, that's reasonable. He's computer smart. He knows all the, he runs cameras. Everything's fine. So we went with that thought. Wasn't no searching. Pretty much just did it on my own. Lean under your own understanding. We got Brother Alex. Had all the confidence in the world with him. But it was my will. It wasn't the will of the Lord. So we decided we was going on vacation. Brother Alex is all set up. And he's going to run the camera while we're gone. Something happened in his family. Terminal illness that night. They all got called out of service. And Brother Alex did the only thing he knew to do, go get help. So he went down, got Brother Ben. Brought him up there. Talk about pressure. This is a $4,000 camera with lots of buttons that you don't touch. Set it up, leave it alone. You only got 3 or 4 buttons to move. Brother Alex gave him a crash course on how to operate this thing. Less than 10 minutes. And out the door he went. Brother Ben's like, video came out perfect. So you could definitely see that Brother Ben had the hand of God on him, because you don't just grab a hold of a camera and point it in a general direction like you do a shotgun and hope you get it, because you're cutting people's heads off, or you're, this is the best one, no moving around, looking, the camera going with wherever they look. But he was dead on the whole time. But there again, what just happened? The hand of God was smooth. And that's what I want you to see. That whatever God's involved in, it'll be smooth. If you have to beat yourself up or whatever, then you just ain't gonna, it's not going to work out. But it's smooth. God's involved in it. Now, have you found there have been multiple calls in your life? Yes. I could leave it at that. That's just yes. I'd answered the question. But down through the time, we've had many prayer service leaders. We had Sister Cummings and Brother Chapman and all of them. And, well, we was always at prayer service. But things would happen. They'd get sick or be a caretaker. Somebody would die. And Brother Bill Miller was the senior person there. And one day he said, "Brother Jeff, step in here when nobody's here and you be their helper." Now, this came through Brother Miller. It did not come through Brother Decker. Do you think Brother Decker knew that? I would say yes. But I've always knew that Brother Miller placed me there, not Brother Decker. If Brother Decker would happen to come along and decide that they wanted to move someone else in there, what do you think my reaction, the devil's going to make me do? He's going to make me rise up and say, "Hey, that's my job. I've had it. I haven't done nothing wrong. Why, you playing favorites somewhere?" The devil's going to work this way to tear you down. So if that happens to you, you got a calling, and the pastor comes along and changes it, don't rise up. Just say, "Okay." Because he has another position for you, maybe. Or maybe he just wants to try your spirit. But I'm just giving you that. It's friendly advice that the devil will do that to you. The other thing we do is we collect mail to be, or inner church mail, the literature that needs mailed out. We do that for they comes into the internet, and then they give it to us, and then we compile it and mail it out. The other thing, Brother Decker has placed us as assistant school, Sunday school leadership role. That's just happened recently. So I don't know what all that's going to entail, but we'll soon know. Now, this is the one. How about a dual call? Not dual for me, but your wife and husband team. Might not be the same calling. She might have a job or he has a job. But one of them things is the laundry room. And we got that calling. Roughly 2010, 2011, somewhere in there. That laundry room was shut, dark, and locked. Nobody was allowed in there. And I could tell by the conversation that we had that that needed to change. And the Lord started dealing with me that if we would open that laundry room up, give out them popsicles, be a mother to all the children, that somewhere in their life, we do things by association, somewhere in life that person is going to be open a popsicle for somebody or whatever, and they're going to remember God's Acres. I went to the laundry room and got that. So, and then the other one is important to me is Brother Decker has placed Kathy in the position to help at the altar. My job in that is to give her support and pray for wisdom for her, not my opinion. And these are things that could be happening to you once you get that wonderful marriage in your life. So that's probably our biggest prayer, that every one of you can get companions, and we are very, very want to see that. So I guess I got one more thing to do, but I don't have no time, so I don't have to do it. Otherwise I was going to handcuff Brother Steve and Sister Sherry together backwards and tell you what a calling is. It was quite, you would, You would have wouldn't have liked it. So I've had a wonderful life here in the Church of God, and I just wish all of you can make that commitment that I want to serve God for the rest of my life. Every day, make that a commitment. It's not a one-time commitment. You know, some people think, well, I'm just going to get saved and I don't have to do nothing else. It's every day I make that commitment. I'm on my tractor, plowing. Lord, I sure want to serve you. And it's just, you can do it every day. And you know, come down to the prayer wall. How many signed the prayer wall? We got lots more room. Come on down, you can sign that prayer wall, and you can look at the names that aren't here no more. And if that don't make you have a burden and pray, especially when you know them, you know them. I used to give them their little popsicles. They're gone. So, appreciate you. Love you. I really appreciate all your attention, but mainly, make that commitment. I'm serving God forever. And that's, you won't regret it. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ben.
Appreciate Brother Jeff's thoughts. Very challenging and applicable to all our lives. It starts out with your first call to salvation. And if you haven't received that call, I'm sure God will definitely give you a chance to become one of His children and serve Him. And pray for a desire to work in His kingdom. As they sang last night, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So